The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The energy we're bringing to the show today, just right off the bat, we are ready to go.
We're both not in black.
That's true.
That's a big day. We're both not having a funeral day.
I will say, Darren walked in, she sat down, she's in a long sleeved green shirt with really nice embroidery across the chest.
It's like my mom was like, "What is that?" Because I never wear flair.
Right.
And I was like, "This is the max flair I would ever wear."
You do a great job at when you do wear flair.
Yeah.
It's just right. It's subtle and makes a statement. What I wanted to say, though, is the shirt is bringing out your eyes in such a way. I'm going to actually take a portrait. I know. Sorry, guys.
I'm ready, John. I've been waiting.
Baby Tersh 2.0.
Baby Tersh.
I thought you were going to start singing Baby Shark.
Very twisted family if Darren now gets pregnant. I know.
But yes, Darren, I wanted to mention you just look so like, I don't know. There's just, you have a vibe
sexy
today. You know what? I think spring has sprung.
Oh.
And
okay,
I'm just
enjoying.
Okay,
we're just going to revert from that and go to the weather.
There you go.
I decided to have a little color.
I like it.
And right before walking into the studio, of course, someone's like, "You're not in black. What's going on?
What's happening?" Yeah. Whenever we don't wear black, people think
they freak.
Wrong.
But I'm in color today. I'll have John take a little photo shoot.
Yes, we're gonna do a portrait photo shoot.
He wants a wallet size laminate of me, and we're gonna give him out to the company.
You just reminded me I need to get my passport photo taken. Anyways,
you know you could do that right downstairs, right?
Yes, and okay. I just literally have had no time to run downstairs.
Okay,
and do
but
that.
The place is called It's Easy because you know what?
Is it really called
It's
that?
Easy?
Yeah, it literally
is called that.
Hey, good marketing. Before we get into the show,
I will say we already have drinks.
We do have drinks, and you have yours. Matt, I guess tell us what you made them because
it tastes like a Manhattan.
Well, I'll tell you this. I loved last week's drink so much, the espresso martini. So I went and got my own, and I'm going to have that today because it's nice and cold and it was in our fridge. So let's drink that.
Have you heard the sound effect, Matt, that it does?
I wasn't here.
Do it live on the thing. Yeah.
Right, here we
if
go.
You what? Can't do it like Gina, it's going to be so upsetting.
Well, listen, all she did was
but
open
listen
it.
To this.
All right, here you go.
Oh my God.
Isn't
that's
it perfect? Wait, it's like a perfect sound bite. Right.
It's very dramatic. And so I'm going to have this again because I liked
it. No one else has ever figured out how to
do this. I don't know. I was wondering that too.
Well, it's the foam balls.
Why don't they have like a little jingle? If they can do that, you can have a little... Or program your own, like a Spice Girls song or something. You know what I'm saying?
It's like you open it and it's like,
Matt,
sorry, I did not mean to bring that up. I'm sorry. Let's move
on. Can we go
sorry.
One podcast without mentioning the things that John likes?
Every boy and every girl, spice up your life.
Oh, great. The lawyer is literally bleeping the red light.
Listen, I'm just humming it.
The cane is coming across and dragging off stage. So John gets to drink apparently whatever he wants
yes,
now.
Yes, thank you.
And what are we drinking today? Megan's already through it.
It's strange because it does taste like a Manhattan, but it's tastes not like at one. All. It's a Negroni, so it's...
Okay.
1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of Campari, and 1 ounce of...
That's why I hate it.
Sweet or semi-sweet red vermouth. Now, it should have an orange peel, and I do, of course, love orange peels,
right.
But I didn't have any oranges, so
oh, good.
I couldn't do that.
I guess
New York must have just ran out.
So, So you hate it?
The thing about it is, it's actually like, I'm not into that. I'm not into gin and I'm not into Campari because of the aftertaste. It's just like so bitter to me. But like, it tastes exactly how a Negroni should taste. I prefer vodka.
I have an idea. Why don't I pour some of this espresso style martini into your drink?
Oh, let's combine a new one.
Yeah.
No, I'll get through it because I care about my job.
Oh, and your job is to drink things you don't like.
Apparently. Literally, the show is called Martinis and
Martinis. Her.
That's
just her job.
Yeah.
Right. As long as it doesn't have like Belladonna in it, then I should be okay.
The way Matt just said "is her job" was hilarious to
me. Like he owns me.
Yeah, he does in a sense. All right. Well, let's get into this week's episode. Which let's just get it out of the way.
The person that we're going to be talking about today, one of the people, her name is Miranda Boob.
Yep.
Spelled just like the body part.
And was this a request by you to talk about?
Shockingly, no.
No? Okay, interesting.
This wasn't. And listen, I think that there's so many, like, it's just rife with so many jokes that we could play. But at the same time, I feel like we don't love an easy joke here. And it's still a serious case. And
it is,
so if you think that we're going to be cracking, like, literally Matt was giggling to himself, and we had to call his children in to be like, Matt, be mature, Dad. And then he like had to stop. Like he was literally less mature than his fucking children.
Listen, let's give a little behind the scenes here.
Yeah.
I even had to send an email.
Yeah,
like, guys, listen, I know we have so many opportunities here. We are a highbrow podcast.
That's right.
We've only said half of the title of the fucking show.
That's true.
Well, the show is called The Story of Boobs and Butts.
Right.
Boob and butts. One boob.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that through miscommunication, Megan thought we were doing another case. So when John sent out this email to be like, hey guys, like, let's not.
I know it's funny, blah, blah, blah.
Megan was like, there's nothing really funny about the case that she thought we were going to do, which we are going to do. So I don't want to spoil it. Literally, it's the worst case ever. And so Megan was like,
what the fuck are these guys?
So she comes in and we're like, oh, it's a different case. She's like, now it makes sense. So
glad we cleared that up.
We are not trying to be immature. We're just going to get through the case. And
if you guys giggle at some of the words, that is your own prerogative.
Is your prerogative. Guys, what is that amazing smell? John, is that you smell incredible today. Is that a new fragrance?
Oh, Darren, yes. It's Eros by Versace. I just got it new last night. Isn't it great? People have been complimenting me all day.
It's fab, but didn't you just get a bunch of new fragrances recently? Don't you have bills, honey?
Don't be silly. Who drops a fortune on full-size fragrances just to test them?
I know.
I use Scentbird to test drive new colognes. It's how I'm always able to smell delicious without having to commit to an entire bottle. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service that allows you to choose a new cologne or perfume from over 450 designer brands.
Whoa.
You choose the cologne you want to try, and then they'll send you a 30-day supply. It's amazing.
Scentbird will send you a bottle containing 120 sprays, which is enough to apply the fragrance more than four times daily for a whole month.
Which, let's be honest, four times is a lot. This will keep you going for a long time. So I just got a few fragrances from Scentbird. I got Lacoste, Eau de Lacoste,
ooh,
Versace Eros, Salvatore Ferragamo, Black, and Gucci Pour Homme.
Oh, excuse me.
I know. I've been wanting to try Gucci for a while, the Pour Homme, but wasn't sure if I'd like it enough to buy a full-size bottle. It turns out I loved it, and I'm totally going to keep it as a staple in my fragrance routine. The other great thing about them is they come in these little containers, these little fragrance sprays, and you can keep them in, like, your tennis bag at your desk at work.
They're perfect size. It's kind of like a lipstick.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off of your first month with Scentbird today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance,
which is unheard of. Yeah. Go to scentbird.com/martinis and use martinis for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/martinis for you to try your first fragrance for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing. So Miranda Boob was born in 1982 and adopted by Marlene and Mark Heinzelman.
Okay.
Her mother told Killer Couples, quote, "We adopted Miranda when she was 4 months old. It was a private adoption. We've always had a very close relationship. She's an only child," end quote.
Cool.
Anyone in here an only child?
Not really. I grew up with a brother and sister, but I have a different dad than they do.
Okay.
But we grew up in the same household.
And you're similar age?
Yeah, similar-ish. I'm like six years older than my youngest brother.
Do you guys find that you can always like tell who's an only child?
Yes.
Right? Like definitely. It's such an easy, like, I'm like, oh, well, you're listen, an only child.
Listen, one of my best friends is an only child. And
mine
let's
too.
Just say it shows.
Okay? Mine too. And she married an only child. I was like, yeah.
Of course they would.
You could only find these two people that stand
right,
you. Okay.
Right.
So Miranda grew up in a small community in Pennsylvania. After high school, she found her calling working with kids at a preschool her mother owned. Her father said, quote, she did enjoy working with children, and I think some of that came from her being an only child. If a child felt lonely, she would be especially sensitive to that.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I actually think that's super sweet.
And kind of the opposite of what we were just joking about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the record, I have plenty of friends that are right. only children, so right. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
But she had trouble dating and often dated guys that her parents didn't think were good for her. But finally, 2 years after school, she met Sam Boob.
Oh, hey, Sam Boob.
Literally, like...
Listen, guys, this is going to be the whole episode. Hold it in.
Hey, Sam Boob.
Hashtag boob and butts.
Oh, okay. We're doing that. Here we go.
Sam and Miranda met after a Powder Puff game at a high school. Miranda got a Mustang for graduation, which was...
What?
I always wanted a Mustang.
Yeah, me too.
I love the look of a Mustang.
Did you know that I was obsessed with cars when I was in elementary and middle school?
Why do I feel like you mentioned that?
Okay.
Like,
I literally like wrote AAA and was like, can you send me any books that you might have about cars? And they sent me like a whole bunch of books. Isn't that crazy?
That's really nice.
I used to be able to identify cars by their headlights. Like,
can you still?
Year. Not now, because so many of them look similar.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just not as into them as I was as a kid. But
I know you find that like brands, you know, not like lower end, but just not like high,
yes.
high luxury are now tailoring their cars
yes.
to look like the high luxury,
yes,
which is
do.
Totally fine by me.
Like,
but it's
Tesla in particular.
Yeah. Or yeah. like Chrysler has been doing some of that recently yeah. where it looks kind of like a Bentley. It's interesting.
By the way, did you guys know we have an auto podcast coming out soon? I don't know if you knew. Yeah,
oh.
Darren and I are talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Cars and Cars.
And Cars and Coke.
And yeah.
Wait, that's not going to work. Keep going.
Jesus. Are we not?
I meant the drink.
John's coming on to you.
Is everyone just as surprised as me?
About how beautiful your
Megan
eyes are.
Megan had to sit back.
Okay.
She's biting her nails. She's so nervous.
Then he's talking about his car obsession. Like
yes.
he's a fucking
are you straight?
Like, bro, who's about to go watch the NBA playoffs and work on his cars.
And
oh
he's drinking from a can today. And he just crushed the can on his forehead.
And then he wants to do a new podcast called Cars and
Coke.
Sniffing Coke.
No, I meant the drink. I hate all of you guys.
Sure.
All right, let's get back to this case, please.
Moving on, because we're not going to make fun of boobs and butts tonight.
No, and Megan, turn Matt's mic off, please. Thank you.
Sam and Miranda met after a Powder Puff game, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
She got a Mustang for graduation, and Sam was all about it and actually asked to drive it, which was... Fair.
Yeah.
Soon he was coming home to Miranda's house, and her parents were down because he came from a nice Christian home.
Okay.
He worked nine to five at a solid waste authority. He was also talented mechanically and earned extra cash fixing tractors, most of which he spent by showering Miranda with gifts.
Okay. This, by the way, sounds very, I don't want to say stereotypical of Pennsylvania, but I lived in Pennsylvania for a lot of my life.
Pennsylvania's rural.
Yes, exactly. That's
it's
what
not
I was
Philly.
At.
It's not Pittsburgh. It's
exactly.
a lot of dead center right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So after just a year, they got married and got a place together on the edge of town. Miranda's mother told Killer Couples, quote, we came up with the down payment and bought them a house.
Wow.
That's really nice. Over the next 5 years, they had 3 children. And as is the case with any relationship, they had their ups and downs. I do kind of like that Miranda wanted more kids rather than just one. Because I find that some of my friends who were only children just want one kid.
Oh, I see.
Because
yeah.
they don't understand maybe the benefits of having a sibling
or
the disadvantages.
Or maybe they're worried like they don't know how to parent a group of kids
right.
or something. Yeah, I've heard that before too.
They struggled with money and often needed help with the mortgage. Miranda's father said, quote, it was almost equivalent to their total salary and we helped many times pay half or more of that mortgage.
Ugh.
An attorney told Killer Couples, quote, Miranda was kind of spoiled in a way. She had kind of a very nice car in high school. She had things other people may have wanted and I think she was used to getting the things that she wanted. End quote. I'm thinking your parents are buying your house. You have a Mustang, you know, out of high school. Like anyone that had a
yeah.
car in high school, especially of that kind of caliber, I felt like it was definitely a status symbol.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, especially because a lot of parents don't want to spend a lot on most kids' first cars.
Right, because they're going to wreck it. They're not going to have it for that long.
Yeah, right.
Well, she overspent in their relationship, which I guess isn't surprising, always buying things for the kids, and it caused a big strain in the relationship, as we know.
Yeah.
Money is got to be a huge financial, it's a huge burden on a couple. And I think money is always the most important.
Well, especially with kids, you know.
Right, exactly.
Well, by their sixth anniversary, the spark was dead. He was always busy and spent his free time in the garage while she was stressed, cooking and cleaning, taking care of the three children. In August of 2006, Miranda walked into a convenience store and met a handsome man named Ron Heischel. He was outgoing, charming, and very good looking, and they quickly started up a flirtatious banter in the store. Do you think flirtatious banter is cheating?
No, but I talk about this a lot with my friends because obviously I think a flirtatious banter can always like lead to more, right. And I think that that's the problem. But some people, and I'm one of them, and I've admitted this before, I'm just like naturally very flirty, and I'm comfortable in doing that. And I mean, I love my girlfriend. I want to be with her, but like I'm a flirtatious person.
But you don't have an intention of like romantic affairs or anything like that.
No, it's like an excitement high, and it has nothing to do with the person. It has something way more to do with yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, because
do you consider it cheating?
I wouldn't say so. No, not cheating. But I think there's this new thing that's come alive in the age of apps called micro cheating, which is where
interesting.
Yeah, you should read about it. It's really interesting. It's like, with the age of apps, you know, conversations, app interactions, even likes on Instagram, if you want to go that far, a lot of people kind of see that behavior, especially if it's sort of
sliding into your DMs,
exactly,
right?
Like, as a potential thing. So obviously that doesn't apply to this particular episode, but you know, down the line, I feel our generation in particular is more aware of that than ever.
Do you and your boyfriend have a very similar opinion of what's cheating?
Yes, I would say so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he would agree with what you're saying.
About what? The micro cheating or
you don't necessarily think that flirting, I mean, I'm not talking about sexting. I'm not saying like, not talking about that, but be like, hey, you're like basically what John was doing to me earlier.
Right. That's true.
Witnesses. We have witnesses.
I can't say, I don't know for sure. Honestly. I mean, he and I have had conversations about like, we could never, I will say this. I'm not necessarily the type of person that can be in a relationship where it's an open relationship, whereas, right. And neither is he, but he has had other relationships that they have been interested and open to that type of thing. I think it's just really a case by case basis.
I think so too.
And what your partner sort of signs up for. I mean, these are the conversations you should be having in like the very beginning of your relationship so that you know down the line once you're married where the parameters are.
Yeah, I think it's so subjective of what, you know, saying like, hey, you're pretty to someone could be flirting to someone, and just greeting someone nicely to another person. One man's trash is another man's flirtation. Again, you don't know.
I think it is all about intent, and only you really know the intent. So.
I agree.
I mean, there are people that are sort of shy and don't seem outwardly
totally
like at all, and they'll have like seven affairs, you know.
That's
what I'm saying?
True. Yeah,
and
totally.
There are people that are very flirtatious and whatever. I mean, I have
but
some,
they'll never cheat,
but they won't cheat.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
some female friends where I will say outrageous things to them, right? Including my oldest friend from college,
Megan literally just pointed to me because she knows,
yeah,
but continue, Matt.
Go ahead, Matt.
And she'll just.
You'll She'll banter.
Say it back.
Yeah.
We both know that
what the intent is.
Even though, you know, we were friends since college, we both know we will never go there.
Right, like, of course.
And she's like a sister to me.
Yes.
But it's just, it's fun. It's
I think
like
it's fun. And I mean, obviously there's a line that you can cross, but I do think it's fun. It's like a different type of energy. And sometimes you want to see how far another person will go.
That's true, too. Yeah,
you know, it's playful. Totally. You want to see what that is, what each limits are.
And that leads to baby Tersh.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, and we'll get back to the case. But especially as gay people, don't you find that straight people will try to test their limits of like, I don't know if you've had this experience.
All the time.
Straight guys in particular, especially when I was in college, love to like play around and like see what they could get away with saying. And like,
because it's like quote unquote safe. I'm using right. air quotes here, right? Because right. they're like, well, John's gay, even though he might be into me, like I'm not into him, but let me see. And yeah. girls do that all the time.
I mean, it's almost like a form of, yeah, I was going to say that as well. It's almost kind of a form of like gay baiting in a sense.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't hate it, especially in college. I was loving the attention.
I'll hate
so
it.
Don't look at me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Danny Roth, and starting April 1st, I'll be talking with a new guest every day about at least one cartoon. And we're calling it Sci-Fi Wire's Everyday Animation. Remember, life is hard. Watch a cartoon and you'll feel better.
Anyway, back to the actual case at hand here. When Ron asked her for her number, she said that she was married. He said he didn't care. Oh, okay, Ron. A psychologist told Killer Couples, quote, and that really made it exciting for her because here was a man that was so swept up in her, it didn't matter what her situation was. He just wanted her because she was that attractive, end quote.
I mean, damn.
All right. Oh, okay.
Is that really hot? That somebody's like, I don't care.
I think that if you're in a marriage that's kind of falling apart, then probably. But
yeah,
I
mean, again, I think it's a case by case basis. I do mm-hmm. have a problem with like the term of like homewrecker. You know what I mean?
Totally,
like,
yes.
Oh, this guy's the homewrecker. Because no, it's on her. It's on Miranda.
It's a mutual relationship.
To say,
yeah.
No, I'm married and I don't want to cross this line. It doesn't matter what Ron thinks. Like, Ron doesn't have any responsibility
yeah.
to Sam Boob. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Miranda does.
Yes.
And so I have a kind of a problem with that whole homewreckery type of thing. Matt, you can keep filling me up,
oh,
though.
Matt's
even,
giving me
even though it's terrible.
Well, the other thing, too, is you hear about this in the news a lot with celebrities. You know, there's a cheating affair. I'm sure some of us can think of some right off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
It's not a homewrecker situation if you're... partner is the one that's wrecking the home, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I just think that there's a lot more to relationships than just monogamy for everyone.
Right.
And I think there's a reason divorce rates are so high. And like yeah. I don't think that we should judge anyone else's relationships, and you really don't know what another couple
that's
has agreed
exactly
to.
Right.
And companionship is just as important a relationship as a sexual one. And
mm-hmm.
and you can have two different ones, or they can be the same person. It's just
yeah.
I do believe in like letting other people figure it out for themselves. I hate
yeah.
when people, I mean, you know me, I'm not really I've talked about like being in open relationships before. I just
yeah, that's right.
think a lot of things are confining, and we have like societal standards
and labels.
And I think because we have societal standards, divorce rate is so high.
Well, I completely agree. And has this turned into Savage Lovecast?
I mean, really
I
has.
I love this. Love a Dan Savage.
Let's get back to the case.
Anyway,
we'll talk about this in another
case.
Shot if you want to know our relationship.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
Opinions.
So they started texting, then calling. The psychologist also said, quote, Ron was born to a single mom. His brother had been adopted out. So he
Thanks,
was
man.
Kind of an only child with his mother. He lived a rather struggling childhood. He saw some abuse in his life. His mother was physically abused by some of the men in her life. End quote. So even more of a sort of convoluted lifestyle here with Ron.
Right.
Miranda explained how unhappy her marriage was, and Ron wanted to help her. They continued texting, but it was a real moral dilemma if she actually wanted to meet up with him. But let's skip ahead to the morning of August 23rd, 2009.
Not long ago.
No, that's not that long ago. Although, like, kind of like 10 years ago, which is crazy.
Right, but not a murder that happened.
No,
like,
from previous.
Yeah, right.
But isn't it weird to think 2009 was already 10 years ago?
I'm almost at my 10-year college reunion, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm planning my 15-year high school reunion. It's crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah. Miranda made a call to 911, and here's the transcript. And Darren, why don't you be Miranda?
I think that makes sense.
Okay, and I'll be the operator.
Although we all know you love a role play.
I do. All right.
911, what's your emergency?
I need your help. Someone's been shot. I think he's dead.
What's the address?
Tussieville Road, Center Hall.
Okay, and what's your name, ma'am?
Miranda Boob. I love you, baby. He's bleeding out his mouth.
Do you have him rolled on his back?
Yes, I do.
Did you try to blow two breaths of air into him?
Yes, I did.
End scene.
Thank you.
Megan, can we
add... Some of your best work.
Thank you. Megan, can you add like a telephone effect to that as if we were actually calling each other? I think those would be fun for phone calls.
Or do foam balls again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just add in the foam balls. Yeah, add in the foam balls.
Well, first responders found Miranda crying in the driveway with her husband's body laying in the grass behind her. So that's a grisly scene if you think about it. The DA told Killer Couples, quote, first responders saw Sam Boob laying face down in the grass right outside of his enormous detached unattached garage. He had a shot blast through his back, end quote. It was obvious he was dead. The shot had killed him within seconds. Miranda's mother found out and left church immediately to come home and said Miranda was, quote, screaming and crying and hitting the driveway with her hands, end quote.
Before we go any further, let me just say that saying that she's in a hysterics seems like a good sign of a scorned wife, of someone who's really upset.
Yes,
as opposed to other people we've seen in cases that are just like, oh yeah, the body's over there.
The body's over there. Right. Yeah, very good point. Take a drink, Darren.
I will, actually.
Crime scene investigators found two shotgun blasts, the first in his side, the second in his back. The shots were so close that there were burn marks on his skin from the muzzle.
There's something about that, and we've covered that before, too, it's just like the gun pressed against someone's head, but there's just something about...
Yeah, totally.
The burn mark. I don't know. It's like... I don't know.
Well, if that doesn't get you queasy, also some of his fingertips had been blown off. Like, how... I don't know if it's like maybe to like he was trying to hold on to the muzzle or something.
I could see that. Yeah, I'll put his hand. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. A detective told Killer Couples, quote, our theory is that he walked into the garage and he was taken by surprise. And it was like a defensive mode where he put his hands up like somebody was holding a gun towards him. He was shot inside the garage initially, end quote. Sam Boob then stumbled out of the garage and was shot point blank execution style in the back.
Oh, God. It's grisly.
A lot of, gruesome details here.
So Miranda was obviously a mess, you know, we hear that from several accounts, but she managed to actually make her statement. Investigator told Killer Couples, quote, she said that they got up in the morning. She says Sam was out in the garage earlier. They were getting ready for church. She was getting the kids ready. Sam was making breakfast. And in between that time, he went back out to the garage, end quote. After 10 minutes, she claimed she looked out the window and saw him on the grass. Boob was bleeding from the mouth and gasping for air. Ugh. So she's making breakfast. Susie Homemaker over here goes to the, he goes to the garage. She finds out 10 minutes later, he's been shot. Well, it could have been a burglary gone wrong. Police investigated an odd possibility. There was a fair in town, and that often brought trouble, they said. A former FBI agent told Killer Couples, quote, fair and carnival workers are notoriously a nomadic group, so it's possible that the fair is in town and one of these workers happened to see the Boob House and said, hey, that looks like an easy score for us.
Which, okay.
I don't know why that would be, because for me, there's another person home.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, a score would be when the person's not home, they can burglarize it. Or it's like a defenseless person, like an old woman or a young person, like not a couple aware, alive, awake, kind of during the day.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
So Sam kept a shotgun in the garage. Had he grabbed it to defend himself and lost control? That's possible.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So as usual, the police canvass the neighborhood and ask around. Sam seemed to be a nice guy without any enemies, but one neighbor claimed to know the real source of problems in the Boob home.
Oh.
The former FBI agent told Killer Couples, quote, one neighbor said that there was one certain man that seemed to be at the house when Sam was at work.
Oh, someone's being snoopy.
Oh, girl.
A neighborhood snoop.
What's she do?
What's
she do? So investigators don't know who this man might be, but it certainly makes Miranda look a little bit more suspicious.
Yeah.
And when they reviewed her statements in 911 call, they started to find inconsistencies in her story.
Interesting.
She had told the 911 operator that she had tried to give Sam mouth to mouth, as we reenacted.
Right.
But he was covered in blood and she never got any on her.
Mm-hmm.
When detectives interviewed Sam's family, who had gathered to console one another, they suggested the man was likely just a repair person. Okay, but every time, you
every
know
time
what I mean?
Every time he leaves, yeah.
An investigator told Killer Couples, quote, we were interviewing Sam's mom. One of my questions to her was, would you consider Miranda having anything to do with this? And her response was, absolutely not. She would never do something like this, end quote. But of course, that's what, I mean, you'd kind of think that a parent's going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe, I just feel like parents' first instinct is to defend their kids, even if they kind of know that they're, even if they think that their kid's capable, they might not want to admit that right away.
Was this his mom, though? Or was this her mom?
Sam's mom, I guess. So, but even still, I think it still applies.
But still, daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I think if you're in a marriage and you know somebody well, I don't know. I think it still applies.
Yeah, and I think that you're not going to want to go there.
Well, either that, but it's also like everyone's relationship with the parents, and especially parents-in-laws, is very different. It's not always going to be straightforward, and you may understand someone's relationship with your son or daughter as one thing, but in reality, it's something else. You know?
I think that if I was framed for a murder, everyone in this room would be like, Darren's definitely capable of doing this.
Yeah, for sure.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on.
I'd be dead, actually, so I wouldn't be able to.
That's
agree.
True, because if I was going to kill anyone, it would be him.
It would be him, yeah.
Megan would cover up for me, though.
Probably.
She'd be like, my baby could never... I'm giving her a Southern accent. My baby could never do that.
Yeah.
John would be like, she's fully capable.
I love that Megan suddenly became like a Southern mom.
She did.
I like that.
She's the matriarch of the family, and you know that. Matriarch on Martinis and Murder.
Listen.
Marinda's mother told killer couples... Oh, so soon Sam and Marinda's family gathered as a funeral, and then Marinda's mother told killer couples, quote, I just remember that Sammy's family and some of our relatives had come, and we were all holding hands and praying, and I remember just crying for him. But Marinda was acting very strange at the funeral. People saw her crying, but when they turned to her, she wasn't. Okay, so this was kind of what we were talking about with an initial reaction of everything. No one seemed to think too much of it except Marinda's brother-in-law, a man named Ben. Ben was very suspicious. So suspicious, he went to the police with his theories. First, he thought that there was a truck positioned on the property to hide Sam's body from the road. Second, he didn't believe the person seen at the house was a repairman. And third, he agreed to talk to Marinda while wearing a wire and see what he could get out of her.
Interesting.
Which is really, I mean, that says something to me. I mean, considering, you know, obviously he's family. I mean, he's the brother-in-law to Marinda.
I was just going to say
you
that.
You know, we talked about, we covered a case called Susan Cox Powell on our Gramercy Theater, and we've covered it at South by Southwest. And one of the siblings of one of the guys wears a wire. And we're probably going to get to that case, but wears a wire. And I remember just thinking like, oh, they got their theories. Like, well, they think that this is, you know,
that's what
bad.
I was gonna say. We've talked extensively about reactions, and we even have today. But it's like, you have to take this person's word for it, because he's, this Ben guy kind of probably knows, you know, the inner workings of someone's reactions, their moods, their temperament.
Exactly. And this isn't Sam's brother-in-law. This is Marinda's.
Right.
Like, this is as close to blood as you can get, pretty much, without being blood.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so police wire up Ben, and he goes over to see Marinda, and this is where it's getting crazy. The conversations start off soft and sympathetic, but here's a snippet from the audio of the wire, and we're going to recreate this as well. I'll be Ben,
I guess? Yeah, well, I'm a really good Marinda.
You have done a great job
as
Marinda. Yeah. Okay, let's do this.
I'll provide the additional commentary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We do have some of that. Okay. Can I just talk really frank?
Mm-hmm.
Marriage can be hard, and you and I married into the same family, and we got our ups and downs, too.
And then he tells her that police are interested in her, and he wants her to help. Here's more of the audio.
They have a lot figured, and they want to, like, they're looking at you.
Oh, I know they're looking at me.
I think that you know who did this, and I think that we can figure it out.
And seeing Matt, that was a good job.
Yeah, good job, Matt. Thanks.
This feels
That's all
like
you're getting
every
today.
Time we role play though audio and like stuff like this, or someone wears a wire, I always think of the Jinx with Robert Durst, which apparently a story just broke today that his confession at the end of the did you guys see the Jinx?
Yes.
Yes.
Megan, you need to see it. Like, absolutely. But
when he was at the toilet?
Yeah, and he can like confessed, you know, or whatever, but the mic was hot. That was edited.
Yeah.
And so that's what his lawyers are claiming, that it was kind of like falsified. I didn't read much of the story. I just kind of saw the headline. I don't know, but we
will
see.
Does it suddenly make him not guilty? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Even if everyone thinks that he is, but the evidence was tampered with or whatever.
However you want to say. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So we did our scene. Let us know if you like our we should be nominated for an Academy
should
Award.
Should I be Marinda now, like forever?
Yeah,
like in perpetuity? We'll see.
Let's see what happens. The DA told killer couples, quote, she admits she knows a person who is kind of obsessed with her, that has sent her text messages, and she doesn't know what she's going to do about it if police find them, end quote. She says...
Ron.
What's that?
Ronnie boy, Ron.
I thought you were saying run, which also applies.
Run, Johnny, run.
She says she wants to erase her text messages. Finally, she starts to reveal more to Ben. Marinda explains that she doesn't know a lot about this guy she's been texting, but the texts would look bad, which it's interesting because at this point you're kind of wondering how far along is her relationship with this guy. When I say relationship, I mean like their interactions. Because has it gotten to a point where she's actually having an affair?
Right. And I know that she was debating whether or not even, you know, meeting up with him. And now, like, I'm sort of torn, right? Because part of me is like, she wants to erase all the text messages. Like, look guilty.
Yeah, totally.
But at the same time, let's say that she's perfectly innocent of this and had this flirtation going. And listen, cheating, infidelity is an arrestable offense. And it doesn't mean that you're a murderer. And so, but they could use that against her in the court of law.
Sure.
And so I could see it being, she doesn't want
this
to come out because it makes her look guilty when she's not. So right. I kind of ride the fence on both of these things, yeah, you know?
I can see that totally. So it's going to look bad that she met a man named Ron and they flirted, but when he asked her to meet him, she backed out for the sake of her marriage. She thinks that the man's obsession over her might have led to the murder, but strongly denies being involved.
Okay, like I said.
Right. She also insisted that he never came over, and what's more is he's been working at the fair in town for the past few weeks. So that's an interesting kind of dichotomy there, too, like the fact that he's sort of working at this fair. But anyway, so Miranda and Ben go to the fair, and incredibly, she points Ron out. Using all the information that Ben got out of Miranda, cops arrest Ron, and Miranda came down to the station to ID him. Again, they have apparently not met at this point, right?
Right, but I'm sure that in the flirtation, they had sent suggestive.
Right. Well, that's true, right.
Pictures back and forth. Of course, we don't know that for sure, but it's not surprising that she might know what he looks like having not met. It is 2009. It isn't the 80s.
That's
like,
true.
You know, pictures, Facebook, these things exist.
This isn't Morse code is what you're
saying.
Exactly. Yes. Well, they got a warrant and searched Ron's trailer for anything that might link him to the murder, but they found nothing. But they did get a warrant for his phone, Darren, and inside was a treasure trove.
Oh.
Ron and Miranda were texting each other intimately right up until the morning of the murder. A forensic psychologist told Killer Couples, quote, when the police were looking through her texts, these texts were extremely passionate, and that would lead the police to believe that she was more involved than she had admitted to, end quote. So it's not a good look when you're having basically, you know, you're sexting this guy and then you're like, I don't know anything about him. And Ron's bunkmate told authorities Ron had said he was sleeping with Miranda. So there's a lot of evidence piling up here. His bunkmate also said that Miranda had told Ron that her husband was abusive towards her.
I was going to say, not that Ron admitting that Miranda and him have been sleeping, because you know that famous rule where it's like, forever many girls men say that they slept with divide by three, and forever many men women say they slept with multiply by three, because of the like.
Yeah.
So in theory, I could see him sort of bragging about it when it might not have been proven.
I
just as
fair.
An aside to start.
Yeah, well, a journalist told Killer Couples, quote, he came from a home where his mother was abused and he didn't want to see another woman in that situation, end quote. And Ron's ex-girlfriend also said, quote, he had seen his mom being beat for years and that's something that deeply scarred him, end quote.
I mean, yeah, that totally makes sense.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And we're the hosts of The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Every week, we recap your favorite Bravo shows and get the inside scoop from Bravo celebrities.
So join us every Thursday to get some tea.
The Daily Dish is available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Well, the morning of the murder, an officer said, quote, Ron keeps asking her if she wants to have her pond done that day, and she was, you know, pretty much, yes, I want my pond done today.
Listen, I want my pond done every day.
Oh, I knew that was
going to
happen.
Fix my pond.
I wasn't even done reading that part yet, and you guys
are on
the microphone.
Notice how it's not a joke about boobs or butts, just
that's true.
We're assuming pond is sexual.
An actual pond. Thank you very much.
What could pond mean, John?
It's a pond in her property. Be nice. All right, moving on. Matt, step away from the microphone.
How verklempt he is.
I know. Well,
Matt, step away from the mic.
Well, it looks like that wasn't a very loving pond. Matt, come on. Well, it looks like that wasn't a very loving pond. It was code for murder.
I don't want my pond done every day. I take it back.
Suddenly that code word changes. Ron's bunkmate really spilled the beans on what happened that day. He claimed Ron asked him to drive him to the boobs residence, but on the way he realized Ron had evil intentions and stopped, only to be threatened by Ron. So it sounds like this guy's saying, like, hey, I need a ride. Can you take me? He's halfway there and realize what the hell is about to go down.
Yeah, and then he has a conscience and stopped it.
Exactly. Well, he dropped Ron behind a field while Ron and Miranda coordinated the attack. Then he heard shots and saw Ron come running towards him. That is crazy. Imagine like knowing what might potentially be going down and like trying to get away from it. The next thing you know, you hear shots.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. According to court papers obtained by the Center Valley Times, Miranda and Ron's text went like this.
I'll be Miranda.
Okay, go ahead.
You'll be Heichel.
Okay.
Okay, he is. Yeah, I saw you. He's in the garage.
Well, you will have your pawn very soon. Will he lock the door when he comes in?
Probably the garage.
How can I get a key?
And they also worked to set up an alibi.
I'm thinking before, and you go to church for witnesses. I need your key, though.
I will call my dad and talk to him.
I'll need the key, and please keep your kids inside.
They're sleeping.
End scene.
These
end
people,
scene.
I have to say, they can't type.
No. Well, this is
literally
typical.
I saw it took me a second to say, I saw you. He's into garage is one word.
One
and I was
word,
like, how
yeah.
am I splitting this up?
Good job by handling that, though. I wouldn't have been able to figure out what that
but
word
was. But just
so
you know, what it looks like is one word is saw you has into garage.
Yeah. All one word. Yeah.
It looks very
ridiculous.
Weird.
By the way, I love that we were able to
seamlessly
text messages here. This is how professional we are.
Well, between the text and the bunkmate's statement, it was enough to charge Miranda and Ron with murder. The bunkmate was arrested as well. But you know what? We forgot a critical piece of information about this mysterious bunkmate.
Uh-huh.
His name, are you guys ready for this? Was Kermit Butts.
Listen, we said at the top, it's boobs and butts, but Kermit really
kind of threw
me.
Megan knows what I'm talking about. Kermit.
I think Kermit might be the kind of twist in the story, if you ask me. Yeah.
Kermit.
That poor man got his ass kicked.
Right. Yeah. He already has
in
it tough.
Elementary
like,
school. Hi, Kermit right. Butts. Are you present in class? Kermit Butts.
Right, exactly. It's like Matt on stage saying vagina over and over with a fucking mascot. And he's just like, Kermit Butts.
I know. I know some people with the last name Butts, and I'm sure it was not a pleasant experience.
Listen,
to go
first
high
name
school.
Wasn't Kermit.
Not Kermit. Yeah,
I mean, I will say, like, my
Kermit
last
Butts.
My last name is Karp, and if you rearrange the two middle letters, you get crap, right? So that was always,
listen,
like, the fun, like, you're doing crap. Like, and
was
it
John,
wasn't fun. Like, it's not fun when you're a kid.
I was John Trasher for most of my life from
and,
all the
and
bullies.
Still, sweetie.
Oh, okay.
Still.
Wow, just bullying me right here on the show. Interesting.
Yeah, Kermit Trasher. Well, and this is why the case gained attention in the
See,
media,
Megan
right?
See, just cackled, so that's what I'm dealing with my whole life.
She's like, ha, ha, ha,
yeah.
ha.
Anyway.
This is why, you know, boobs and butts, as we basically
yeah,
talked
yeah.
about it. The website of a local television station, WTAJ, had the headline, quote, butts arrested in boob murder case,
I mean,
end quote, which Matt sent us.
If that's not clickbait, I don't know what is.
I mean, literally, and then you just go to my Instagram profile.
Right.
A local NBC affiliate ran the headline, quote, police, butts tied to the boob murder.
Listen. It's we're just reporting
it's
the facts,
rife
you know?
With jokes.
We're just it writes itself. Megan said.
McCoy's News reported that, quote, in exchange for his assistant, Butts, yes, that really is his name, would get $5,000 when the insurance policy paid out. End quote. Here we go, because I'm thinking like the bunkmate. His name is Kermit Butts. He's been through so much.
Yeah.
Well, and Gawker pointed out that Butts would have to testify against boobs.
I miss Gawker, by the way.
I mean, I'm all for butts testifying against boobs.
I'm sure you are, Darren. I know you are, Darren.
Just saying. Behind bars, Ron invoked his right to remain silent while Miranda told anyone and everyone that she was going to be wrongfully accused.
Interesting.
If it were me, I would keep my fucking opinions mum.
Yeah.
During a court trial, like, I don't want any, like, everything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. Like, that's the first thing that they fucking say in the Miranda rights. Like, take that literally, people. Miranda claimed that she thought Ron was going to scold Sam for abusing her, not murder him.
I guess there is some, I mean, listen, if you're going into this blind and you're just looking at it objectively, unless there's something like, I'll bring the gun, there's not a lot of evidence that kind of points to the fact that it's necessarily a murder being planned. It could be just he's going to kind of like rough him up or
like
going,
defend, you know. Although you'd think
cleaning the pond means a stern talking to.
But and not
maybe.
For, and not for nothing. You know, maybe we want the male to protect, you know.
Sure.
But like, she did have a brother-in-law.
Yeah, she
I don't
people.
Know if there was a height difference or a weight difference or he's not that type of guy. But like, she had men in her life who she knew.
That's true.
And she could trust to handle this.
And it's clear that she was having some sort of an affair of some kind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the Daily Item reported that, quote, Miranda Boob told police Heitra was coming to their home the morning of August 23rd to confront her husband, end quote. Her mother told Killer Couples, quote, she never wanted Sammy dead. She never did, end quote. But is it really possible she really never knew? Soon it was time for her and Ron's joint trial. Prosecutors claim that Miranda was the mastermind of the murder. The DA told Killer Couples, quote, Miranda lies and says he was abusive to her. That was unequivocally false. As part of our trial, we were able to disprove that. There was zero evidence, and it was untrue that he was physically abusive to her in any way, end quote.
Okay.
So what was the motive? She could have just divorced her husband, right? Which is kind of what we were saying.
We've said that,
you know? Which, granted, I don't ever think that should be like, you know, when people like don't like something in this country and people are like, just move to Canada then. You're like, that's not a defense of your opinion, like, yeah, or defense of ideas. Like, just divorce them. Like, granted, yes.
Well,
but financial things matter and children matter. And it's not just so easy to be like, I don't like them anymore. Let me get divorced. There's so many layers.
I mean, just the amount of money it takes to get divorced is astronomical. I mean, it's a big financial burden to get divorced.
Absolutely. A journalist said, quote, the reason for killing Sam Boob did appear to be a couple of insurance policies and some retirement money.
As it always is.
Main theme. You know, we used to do moral of the story in the beginning of this podcast. And like, I feel like for the past 100 episodes, it's been like, don't have anyone take a life insurance policy out on you.
No, who has life insurance on
basically,
you?
Basically, the DA was convinced it was all about money as well, telling killer couples, quote, somehow she came to resent that she married a man who was hardworking and lived a blue-collar lifestyle. Nothing ever seemed to be good enough for her. She shopped a lot, she put them in debt, and she just seemed to want more financially and superficially, end quote. But the real twist to the trial happened when a man named Wes took the stand. Wes claimed that he had been having an affair with Miranda. The Daily Item reported that, quote, 10 days after Samuel Boob was found shot to death in his own shotgun in the driveway of his Tussieville Road home, police say Decker, which is Wes, admitted to the affair with his wife.
Interesting.
End quote. He also claimed that Miranda, shortly before Sam's death, had approached him about doing the hit. And what's more, she didn't even really want to be with Ron. She wanted Wes.
Wow.
Can you imagine being processing?
Oh my god. Right, exactly. Like, you got nothing to show for it. Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
I am a fucking sucker.
Do any of you guys watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Of Matt
does.
You do?
Yeah, Matt does.
Matt, are you caught up?
Not with the last episode, only with the first episode.
Okay, well, this isn't spoiling anything, but like Daenerys comes to Sansa and she was like talking about men, and Sansa's like, I don't trust men. They do silly things around women for love. And like, this is such a good example of that. An investigator told Killer Couples, quote, when she was in jail, we were listening to her jail calls and her first phone call was to Wes Decker. That's how we were able to find out who Wes was. He basically broke down and told us what was going on, end quote. It's kind of interesting that if she hadn't called him, he might have never been even mentioned in this case ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever.
But also, I'm curious what like proof or whatever that Wes has beyond just these kind of conversations. I don't know. Just curious.
The DA told Killer Couples, quote, Miranda's a master manipulator. Whatever demons that Ron Heichel suffers from, that he can be manipulated that way. That's all she needed was one person whose psyche could be manipulated that way.
Okay.
AKA, man.
Yeah.
It only took the jury 2 hours to convict both of them, which is maybe record time that we've seen on Martinis and Murder. I mean, 2 hours is like nothing.
You can't even get through a dinner in 2 hours.
No.
In a restaurant.
Miranda Boob was fat, and me and Carson get through a dinner in like literally 25 minutes.
I'm really
it's
good
like
at
upsetting.
That too.
Like, it's so sad. We're like, we got here at 5:30 and it's 6.
And it's 5:45.
Oh, okay. Miranda Boob was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder, and Ron Heicher was found guilty of first degree murder plus conspiracy. Ron is really.
Yeah.
I mean, they both received life sentences, according to the Center Valley Times, and Miranda's attorneys have filed 2 appeals seeking a new trial. They were both denied, according to the Center Daily Times. Sam and Miranda's children were placed in the custody. I mean, let's not forget they have children. Those are the real victims here. And, of course, Sam Boob.
Right.
Sam and Miranda's children were placed in custody of Sam's sister and brother-in-law.
Well, hopefully that's a better scenario than what's happening here.
Poor kids. Poor children.
Brother-in-law's probably Ben, the guy who wore the wire.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. I'm assuming so.
Right. What a story, though.
Right? I know.
And again, just always, A, know your life insurance policies.
Right.
And B, I don't know, just make sure no one's wearing a wire if they're entering your home. I don't know. That's just what I'm looking out for. But yeah, crazy story. Let us know what you think about this. You can follow us on social at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, at Matt the Bartender.
Yep.
I'm curious to look this area up because this sounds so local to my hometown because I lived on the Pennsylvania border, and I don't know. I'm just
Pennsylvania
curious.
Is fucking huge.
It is. It really
and not
is.
For nothing, this does. I mean, obviously, it's rife with jokes and jokes. But it is what it reminded me of that game that we play sometimes, where it's like two truths and a lie, where it's we give 3 kind of headlines, and you have to guess which is the fake one. This is like perfect
in
for a game like that because it's so unbelievably real, you know?
If you come to a future live show, we may end up using it. So there you go. You have one clue.
You have one up if you get called up to play and get some swag.
Let's get to listener shout-outs, Darren. And this week's shout-outs is our very birthday focused.
I know. We try and get to everyone. And certainly when I see it on the you know,
Facebook group.
On the Facebook group, I try and say happy birthday, but it's... But it's, you know, hard to get to everyone.
It is. Well, Rochelle on Facebook says, so it's my birthday today and my anniversary tomorrow, and it would seriously make my whole year, her whole year, if I could get a shout out, please. So shout out to Rochelle.
Rochelle.
Happy birthday. And what a cool thing to have your birthday and then your anniversary the next
day. What's weird is my parents' anniversary is the day before my birthday.
Oh.
And my girlfriend's parents' anniversary is the day before her birthday.
What?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
Isn't that weird? Like, when I found that out, I was like,
you two are just soulmates.
Oh my God. We're like star-crossed lovers. Soulmates. Oh my God. I'm going to contract Taylor to kill Matt for me.
Oh no.
Judy on Facebook says, Dedicators, today is my 21st birthday. And there's a new episode of Martinis and Murder. What an awesome gift for my favorite podcast. Crying emoji. Now that I'm 21, which episode drink should I try to make? Key lime pie fucking martini.
That's still our favorite to this day. We haven't had it in quite a while. Maybe we need to bring it back.
I mean, you love anything with Bailey's, anything with Kahlua.
Yeah.
Anything like a vodka-based drink is pretty good.
It's good, yeah.
I'm trying to think of one that Matt made that was like... tropical. I think it had curacao in it. That was really, really good, but I can't remember the name of it.
Well, I could give you an idea. The Blue Nublar.
Oh, it might be the Blue Nublar. That's right.
I came up with for the Jurassic World promotion about a year ago. Check that one out.
Sure, it's
blue curacao, and like I think it had like
that might be it.
Cream, some kind of cream in it. Listen, it's delicious.
Don't
try
get
it.
Dirty, John.
I know. Sorry.
We have to have the key lime one again.
Let's do it for a Florida murder.
Since you guys were incapable of getting the key limes.
Oh wow.
What is our job here?
I will order from Florida fresh key limes.
Oh, that would be great because we're sitting in front of a poster.
I do declare the key lime pies are my favorite.
We're sitting in front of fan art from Lauren, who sent us in some posters that say, I survived the lime famine of 2017. So thank you again, Lauren. We still have that
episode
hanging.
29.
I know.
It's funny because when we're trying to reference like these fun things, I think it was one day, I think Megan was like compiling all the stuff and we like couldn't remember the episode and was just like, literally right in front of our face because
it says
episode 29 and episode 27. We're like, where is it?
The other poster says I survived episode number 27 with a giant orange peel behind it. And we're like, what is that episode?
I actually love that artwork so much.
It is cool. I love it. We should get it framed actually.
Let's do it.
All right, guys, that's it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with some really interesting episodes coming up this next round of episodes.
Less boobs and butts. I can assure you.
Let's hope.
I can assure you. There'll be less boobs and butts.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.